First, welcome everybody. I appreciate all being here, and I thank Connie and the Warbirds and Review program. As she said, I'm kind of new at this. This isn't my regular job, but she threw me in, and I'm pleased, proud, and honored to be able to take part. We have two distinguished visitors here, and before we go there, if you all were here this morning at all, I'm going to start this program the same way I did this morning. This is a Vietnam, Southeast Asia honoring day, if you will. So I'm going to ask first, any Vietnam vets out in the audience? If you are, please stand up. Vietnam vets. Thank you very much. I'll continue that. Any family members that supported with brothers, fathers, sisters, uncles, whatever, any other of those type vets, those support, there you go. And they're the people who supported y'all, so thank you very much. And then finally, hey, veterans, period. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, Coast Guard. Hey, all you guys stand up. I know, and gals, I should say. Thank you very much. And I'm going to start this, and Dick has no idea. First of all, I got to say, how do you introduce a guy like Dick Rattan? I mean, you know, his bio is about this long. I mean, he's been presented medals by the president. The awards just go on and on and on. And I'm kind of going, okay, so how do I start this? And I said, okay, he's here. I'm supposed to kind of steer the ship. And I've heard rumor that Dick is kind of a hard ship to steer at times. But I'm going to do my best to do that. But it is a Vietnam themed program today. And I've presented many medals in my past. I'm not presenting anything. I'm merely reading a citation today. And I'm going to read a citation that maybe not many of you know of in regards to that man standing or sitting right there. And I'll start it the way I always start, and it normally starts with, hey, this is an award, and it means a lot to that man, I'm sure. It means a lot to me. And I start with attention to order. And I'll just read it. The President of the United States of America, authorized by Act of Congress, July 9th, 1918, takes pleasure in presenting the Silver Star to Captain Richard G. Rattan, United States Air Force, for gallantry in connection with military operations against an opposing armed force as an F-100F forward air controller operating over North Vietnam on 26 May, 1968. On that date, Captain Rattan planned and coordinated an attack against co-located heavy anti-aircraft artillery sites, which threatened to halt air operations against a critical key target on a major line of communication. Directing armed fighters, Captain Rattan repeatedly exposed himself to the intense and accurate hostile ground fire to ensure the destruction and neutralization of the gun sites. His phenomenal aggressiveness, superior airmanship, and complete disregard for his personal safety in the face of intense ground fire was instrumental in removing a severe threat to air operations engaged in the interdiction of arms and supplies moving into forward staging areas. By his gallantry and devotion to duty, Captain Rattan has reflected great credit upon himself and the United States Air Force. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Dick Rattan sitting right there right now. And that was a particular mission that we may be able to talk about later on, and I know you've got others, but that's going to be the theme today. What we're going to do basically is talk a little bit about, hey, the misty fact. This morning we were talking about the Ravens. Well, this guy's a misty fact, and he was one of the first and probably had some of the most missions of any misty fact up there. Am I not correct? Okay. And by saying misty fact, what are we defining that as? That's a fast fact mission. That's an F-100F two-seat. And they were the forward air controllers, if you will, up north. And we're talking about North Vietnam now. These guys would mark the targets for the strikers, if you will, and they were the F-4s, the A-1s, and then, hey, direct the eyeballs and the bombs on target to kill the bad guys up there. A very unique mission, a very dangerous mission. He did it for a long time, as I said, and we've got Paul Wood up here who generously loaned us his airplane, and neither of us have flown this airplane, okay, or an A1 at all. But this is a integral part of the mission, and Dick will talk about the number of missions probably that he controlled, A1s dropping bombs on the bad guys up there. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dick and just ask, first of all, hey, you know, can you define, hey, how'd you get into the MISTI business? And Was it difficult? And what exactly was it? I kind of briefly described it, but you've got the details. So, Dick, you got it. You can stay down. You don't have to sit. You don't stand unless
That's
you want
okay.
to.
If I stand up, the blood doesn't go to my head. First of all, I want to recognize Pam Tackerberry. Stand up. Her husband was a fellow mystic. Unfortunately, Tom is not, he's not here with us anymore. But anyway, there's one of the heroes that I know of that stayed at home on the home front. And you ever heard of the blue car? If you're in the housing area, the blue car comes with somebody with a Class A uniform and another guy that's a chaplain. And if you're a wife of a vet, of somebody that's in combat, that's something that you don't want to see. But he asked, how did I get involved in that? I was a student in fascination right after World War II about those guys that flew those missions over Nazi Germany. Where it was unlike, remember, 3 out of 4 was their loss rates. 3 out of 4 went over there, and they were casualties. And they told me that there was more people in World War II that died over the skies of Nazi Germany than the Army and the Marines put together for the whole war. Every airplane had 10 people in it. And I read all the books I can, but I couldn't imagine who are those people that flew those missions. It was not uncommon for your squadron to go over there, and every single one of that squadron was shot down. And you came, you're the only one back. You're all limped up, you have wounded on board, and you come back and just barely make it. I was long high altitude missions. But my question was, as I read about those things, how in the hell do you get back in another airplane the next day and do that? Think about it. Who in the hell are those people? And I always wanted to be a warrior. That was an exciting thing to do. The ultimate in human competition. And I had to find out that if I could do that, why did they do that? And I got to find out the first time I got shot at. But when I got into Vietnam, most of the missions were in country. Most of the missions, we never had any ground fire. We never saw what the target was. It was dropping bombs in a jungle with the smoke rocket from one of the A1 or one of the little Cessnas. And they dropped the bombs and go home. And I knew there was a lot of activity down there. And I wanted to know what that was all about, but we always left the area. And then I found out about this classified, out-of-country MISTI. And they were an experimental thing. Can a forward air controller survive in the intense flak of North Vietnam? And so they had a small group of people. Major Bud Day set that thing up. And unfortunately, he was training one of the new pilots, and he got shot down himself. And I often thought about that. Bud Day, our commander, he got shot down, and he was hiding at a bomb crater, and the helicopter came right up. Now, the helicopter had rescued his front seater, his training pilot. But that helicopter came right up, and Bud Day come up to the edge of it, and he's waving at the helicopter. And he could see the guy right in the door, right there. And they didn't see him. They turned around and left, and he spent 6.5, 7 years as a prisoner of war in Hanoi. And his contact, his bravery of what he did as a prisoner of war, he was awarded the Medal of Honor. So you can imagine he was a very extraordinary man. And when I was over there, that's right, thank you. When I was over there, I was getting kind of bored with the missions we were flying, and I didn't come here to do that. I wanted some more excitement. And then I heard, by accident, this little group of people, a handful of pilots and a few airplanes that were going into the north. And some of the stories that they told, I says, hey, I want to do that. So I went to my flight commander. I'm brand new in Vietnam, and I says, hey, I want to be a MISTI. And he says, nah, Rutan, they're only having, you got to be a flight lead. I says, okay, make me a flight lead. I want to go. He says, nah, Rutan, guy, it'll take you 6 months or more to upgrade to flight lead status. And so I kept bugging him. And I kept bugging him. And he got so upset with me. He says, God damn it, Rutan. He says, I'll make you a flight lead. So I flew a flight lead mission. I didn't do a very good job. But I came back and he says, Rutan, you're a flight lead. Now get the hell out of here. And for the next 8 months, I never came back because I got so intrigued with the mission, the Misty mission up there, that it was exciting, really exciting. And our job was to interdict the supplies and stuff coming down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. So it's kind of like a camouflage college. They would try to hide things, and we'd try to find them. And if they could see what their camouflage is from the air, they'd have never done it. Because they would take foliage and put it over their trucks and in their gun sights, but they didn't realize that the bottom of the leaf was slightly a different color. And when you can see that slightly different color in an oblong square, you knew it was a truck. If you knew that when there were the Soviet-style anti-aircraft gun sights in a nice circle, you knew that was a gun sight. So I don't believe I ever saw a gun to start with, but we sure killed a lot of them, and that was pretty exciting.